T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 3 of NFL Sunday. It is Keith, Fourier, and Wiggy from our Best Yet studio here in Boston. Patriots, of course, in action tomorrow night against the New York Jets. But we'll still go around the NFL coming up an hour from now. Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston will join us at 11:30. But for right now, the New York Jets, who had a big win over the Cowboys last week, they still don't have a great record, but they've played most of the season with a second or third string quarterback, or even a guy that's not even on the team anymore. Any, is this a challenge? What kind of game is this on Monday night? Close game? I know the spread's 10, but it's in New York or Jersey.
Right.
Sam Darnold looked good last week. Do you guys think this is a competitive game, or is this just another, you know, outside of the Buffalo game, just another easy win for the Pats?
No, I think this is definitely a competitive game, and I'd say just because I think the biggest and the toughest challenge is the Patriots offensive line versus the Jets defensive front. I just feel like they're going to really challenge them physically. And I hate to say that the tight end position took another hit, because it did. And I guess it did. I think this is a grind.
Okay.
Unless Darnold goes out there, because I think the most important thing, the one thing, is that every team gives them so many multiple opportunities. If a team finished a game without turning the ball over, the game would relatively be close. If the New York Jets just don't turn it over and don't allow any non-offensive touchdowns, being special teams or defensive, you know, something returned for a touchdown, they'll be in the game till the end. Like, it'll be a one possession game is what it'll be. Now, can they do that? I would like to think that they're probably looking at that and saying, this is the most important thing. Don't turn it over. You want to play a field position game? Fine. You punt it. We'll punt it. Your kicker sucks. Our kicker is okay. We'll play that game. That's the way I think it is.
I mean, the first time these teams played each other, it really should have been a shutout for the Patriots. They won 30-14, but that was the game that Jarrett Stidham threw the pick, and you also had the Gunner fumble recovery for a touchdown. But at the same time, in the second half, there was a stretch where the Patriots punted 7 times. You know, or maybe it was just total in the game. But either way, the offense wasn't exactly lighting them up. Okay. And then there was just nothing. I mean, the Jets' offense that week was as poor as you were going to see. I mean, that was on par with Miami, maybe even slightly worse than Miami. This is a significant upgrade.
Well,
it's a real quarterback at the very least.
Here you go. Listen to this.
All right, I'm listening.
Put on your thinking hats, boys.
I always wear it.
Put on your thinking hat, Christian. Put on your numbers hat. 23 of 32, 338 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Sam Darnold's numbers versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Pretty good.
Okay, pretty good.
Pretty strong.
28 of 41, 175 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions. Sam Darnold's numbers against the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, that's a good defense, we know.
It's a good defense.
That's a nice defense.
When I look at this game, the defense that he's playing against, very good. Very, very good. They will create turnovers. They will make it very difficult for him. What you're going to see is the Patriots will control this game in the sense of they might be up 10-0, 14-3. It'll be close in that way, but then it'll get to a position where the Patriots will ultimately win this game 24-3, 28-7. That will be this game. It won't be the game where you're going, okay, fourth quarter, it's one possession.
And then the defensive players are going to make snarky little comments in the locker room like, oh, where was the weakness?
Right.
Get ready for that.
Yeah.
Get ready for them to, if they do shut him down, to make some sort of shot at Sam Darnold, even though he was just trying to answer a question.
That's ultimately what you'll see, because the Jets will struggle against the very, very, I would say, the best defense in the NFL, which creates turnovers.
Yeah.
And the offense will struggle, but
the Patriots offense will.
The Patriots offense
will. Yeah, you'd have to think so.
Will struggle. That's why I said at halftime it might be 10-3, 14-3.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a close game.
Right.
But it'll be that game where it will go, man, if this offense could do anything, it would be 34-0. And that's what you'll ultimately end up seeing. So I don't really think it'll – I think it'll be close just because the offense will struggle. But ultimately, the Pats win this game.
But I do think
14 to 21 points.
Yeah, so you think they cover the spread and it's an easy one. So that's sort of an early tip of the cap or a tip of your hand of the picks segment that we'll have to wrap up the program. But yeah, all right, so you feel like it won't be that competitive.
No, it's like, you know,
like you're like one of those games where there's never any doubt. Even if the game is like a 7 point, you always feel like they're going to win.
It's like a boxing match where through the first 5 or 6 rounds,
you
know, all right, Pacquiao's winning, but he's not winning in decisive fashion. He's kind of letting this guy hang around. And then round 6 through 12, Pacquiao knocks him down 3 or 4 times, and you're like, all right.
See, I think they got significant issues, and I know nobody was a huge fan of Ryan Izzo, but I feel like the fact that they're down Izzo, Lacoste, both their fullbacks.
But don't you think these two tight ends might be an upgrade over the last two tight ends?
I haven't seen the other guy.
I feel like the other guy, Eric Tomlinson, is just a blocker, and I feel like the other two guys weren't blockers. So if he can just help Sony Michel or James White or whoever a little bit there,
you're going to know exactly what to do. Hey, here's the play we're running. We're running ride 34. Block the outside guy. Block the guy ahead
of you. I feel like that is.
We're not asking you to run a lot of routes. We'll have Ben do that. Ben will know where to run.
And if he has 3 catches, it's again, you're already improving on what you've seen at the tight end position.
Just set the edge, be the point of attack guy for us in the tight end position with the other guy. Whatever, what's his name?
Eric Tomlinson.
Tomlinson, right?
Yeah.
Hey,
you're going to learn it. You're going to see him out there.
Tomlinson,
probably
here's what we want you to
do. He's a big dude, a mountain of a man.
Set the edge for us.
That's all it is. That's all it's going to take. Let's go to the phones. We've got Joe up in New Hampshire. He joins us next year on NFL Sunday. What's going on, Joe?
Yeah, who was scoring all the touchdowns in the playoffs last year? Who didn't he break the record for touchdowns for running back?
Who, Sony Michel?
And who,
James White.
Yeah, and who was the best running back in the Super Bowl? Wasn't Todd Gurley.
No, it was Sony
Michel. Yeah, he was hurt, so it wasn't.
Let me tell you something. This kid just started his second year, and it's the first time he's played behind a bad offensive line.
How's he doing?
And there's a learning process there that has to take place.
How's he looking?
He's struggling. He's learning.
All right,
how to run behind a bad line. That's
all we're saying.
Process
that's all we're saying.
No, you're a knocker. You knock motherhood.
What?
What?
You're a knocker.
A knocker?
You're just looking for an excuse to knock the kid.
So where do you
knock motherhood?
So do you like 20 guys better than him or no?
I don't like the guy up in Buffalo better than him.
Frank Gore, nice back. Oh yeah, sure I would.
Joe, I'm with you. I'd rather have Sony than
Frank Gore.
Give me Sony.
So how come Brandon Bolden's taking the short
Sony
yardage,
any
Joe?
Day.
Joe, how come Brandon Bolden's taking the short yardage carries?
I like Brandon Bolden.
Yeah, okay, good. Of course you do. He's on the Patriots.
Bleep out of here.
Guy likes every so you can't call out the fact that Sony Michel is not having a great season. It's because of everything else.
No, I think
it's the O-line, it's this, it's that. Every other running back has been more productive. Yeah, well.
Knocker.
Who's been more productive?
I guess. Name a running back on the Patriots. Name one. James White, more productive. Rex Burkhead, more productive. Brandon Bolden, more productive. Yeah.
In the running game?
Yeah.
I'd still rather have Sony Michel. If I had to give the ball to somebody between 18.
You're a knocker.
And I'm a knocker of motherhood.
I don't remember that.
If you're going to give the ball to somebody 18 to 22 times in a game for this Patriots team.
Yeah.
You have Sony Michel, Brandon Bolden.
No, it should be Sony Michel, but I don't know.
You got to answer my question. Sony Michel.
There's one in here?
Brandon Bolden and James White. Who are you giving it to?
Sony Michel. And then I'm going to be mad about the results. But that's who I would go to. Scott and Weymouth. Well, he's up next. What's up, Scott?
Jeez.
What's up, guys? Yeah. I want to say good afternoon, but it's still good morning, right?
Still good morning, sir. That's right.
Hey, Wiggy, what's up, kid? You know me. You hear me. I call Greg a lot.
Hey,
how you doing,
buddy?
What's
going on? How's everything?
Everything's good. Beautiful morning.
That's it.
All right, 2 quick points, guys. And, Wiggy, I'm going to close with a question for you I think you'll give a good answer to. This Patriots offense, I'll tell you what, I'm getting a little tired of everyone saying, oh, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? You don't think Josh McDaniels and Belichick know what the heck's going on? I'm looking for them tomorrow night to explode and put up 40. And you want to talk covering spreads? I think they're going to kill him tomorrow night because, at Wiggy, as you heard me say on the air earlier in the week, this is do or die time. I don't want to swear on the air.
Thank you.
Or get off the pot. Of course, my man. I would never swear on the air.
Appreciate that.
It's time to, you know what, or get off the pot. It's do or die.
Why is it do or die? Why is it do or die in week seven?
Because we're midway through the season. It's a divisional game. It's time to start jockeying for position. This is it's starting to get real.
Jockeying for position, and thanks for the call, Scott. When Pat Mahomes went down with the injury on Thursday, they clinched home field advantage.
Well, I think
even if Mahomes only had three games, they clinched it.
Let me say what Scott was trying to get at. When he said do or die, because he said this on the Greg Hill show.
Yeah, no, I heard him mention that he calls them a few times.
Do or die in the sense offensively for you to make a move. So if you go out there and this offense has another game where they sputter and we're like, oh man, they just don't look that good, it's time for you to make a move the next day
to
bring in some type of reinforcements.
But the reason I disagree with that is, let's say they do score 40 points. Mm-hmm. Would you say they don't need anybody?
No, I would still think you...
So there you go. So it's not do or die. They need to add another player on offense, whether they light up the Jets or not. So he says it's do or die, like, ooh, if these guys go out there, and no Josh Gordon, by the way, so if they go out there with Dorsett and Myers and they have a lot of success, you're going to say, oh, well, we're going to be all set. We're good. We don't need to add anybody. No, you need to add somebody regardless.
They need to add somebody regardless. But his point more do or die was the the offensive.
No, I understand. So the trade deadline is a week from Tuesday.
Yeah.
So they'll have two more games before the deadline. So they have Monday night against the Jets.
Monday night.
And then a week from today, they play Cleveland at home.
Okay. All right.
So you have two more games to get a look at. Before the deadline.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't think it's do or die. And then...
No, I think it...
Did you say jockeying for position?
Yeah, I did say jockeying for
position. What position are they in jeopardy of? I mean, it was a good start to the call.
Yeah.
So what... are they at risk of what? Not having home field? Not winning the division?
No, I don't know what...
I feel like they're going to be okay.
Yeah, now it's time. I'm with him on the. It is time to separate yourself in the sense of getting somebody in to reinforcements.
You'd think Emmanuel Sanders, who we've talked about a lot on the show, but after that performance on Thursday with that offense, with Joe Flacco,
he might just leave.
Yeah. He might just go AWOL from them.
He might just show up to
New England. He has to say that his back hurts.
Yeah, that's true. Say that your back hurts, you have the flu, and you have another kid on the way.
Yeah.
That was the Jalen Ramsey formula, and it worked.
Right.
It took a little time, but it worked.
I just say, just catch a flight to Logan, show up to Patriots Place, and just stand in front of them.
Just wait.
They'll be with Denver, they're going to be like...
With a boombox over your head playing
Denver
in your
people,
eyes.
They're like, where's Emmanuel Sanders? Well, there's reports that he's sitting in front of Gillette Stadium.
I feel like normally on Sundays at 9, we usually start with some sort of breaking news from Fourier, which I feel bad we didn't get to.
We didn't
Fourier,
have
do you have any news? Do you have any scoops today?
I don't have anything.
No scoops?
No, I don't.
That's
come
a first.
On.
Usually well, I mean, I got to keep you. I can't just, you know, feed
I know,
you every
not,
time. I got to keep you hungry. I would like to confirm the Emmanuel Sanders because after that game, you know, he was not happy with the way things were going, and he didn't go all Jalen Ramsey.
Ooh, this is a little bit of a nugget.
This
then.
Is something.
Okay, so
but
what else?
Well, no. I said I would like to confirm it. I may have to get a confirmation.
I thought there was something.
I thought
there,
you were
like,
saying he's disgruntled.
There's like a tweet coming.
Keep your eyes out on Instagram. He's going to... Some emoji from Emmanuel Sanders coming.
Right.
I think that would be good, though.
So that's... thumbs down, Emmanuel Sanders emoji.
And we've been monitoring Gronk, because I see Gronk on Fox right now holding the Lombardi Trophy with, I think, whoever the ref guy is.
The ref guy.
Who's in charge of, was it Al Riveron?
Oh, God. He's hanging out with Al Riveron.
All I know is
are
that
we rolling
just,
on that, John?
Hopefully we are.
We are. I think we might. Like so maybe we'll have some Gronk later in the show.
Everybody's
well.
Laughing and they're having a good time.
I bet they are. He likes to keep it loose.
Yeah, well,
loose clubhouse.
Nothing serious. Yeah.
He's gonna be
just
on.
Fun.
He's got. Hey, we know he's gonna be on Fox's pregame show today. So let's see what kind of questions they ask him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think
I
it's going
like
to be hard-hitting.
I feel like it's already on.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is
we'll
already on.
We'll have to
on.
Put it on.
We'll check it out. We'll get to that. Also, we will be joined by Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston. We come back here on NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Listen to Tom Brady's interview anytime on the radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Needham Bank. Can we be your bank? Patriots off today. They take on the New York Jets on Monday Night Football. The Pats will be without Josh Gordon, Ryan Izzo, and Matt LaCoste. So Ben Watson and Eric Tomlinson should both make their season debuts for the Pats tomorrow night. It's a NFL doubleheader here on WEEI coming up at 1 o'clock. It's the Raiders and Packers, followed by Chargers and Titans. The Bruins lost in overtime last night to the Maple Leafs. They'll get back in action against Toronto Tuesday night at home. And the Yankees lost to the Astros in Game 6 of the ALCS. Jose Altuve with a walk-off homer in the ninth, sending the Astros to the World Series for the second time in 3 years. Game 1 against the Nationals will be on Tuesday night. Tom E. Kern will join us coming up next. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Jason Horwitz here with NFL Media senior fantasy analyst Michael Fabiano as we get set for week number 7. And Mike, I know the theory is always go with the best players and the big names that they have always been successful, but the Andre Hopkins this year, different story for fantasy owners. What are you doing?
Well, if you have Nuke on your team, to me, he's still a must start. The numbers haven't been there, unfortunately. He's become more of a possession receiver. But I feel like things can only get better, and that offense is explosive, and it's going to score a lot of points. So, listen, it would be foolish to tell anybody to sit DeAndre Hopkins.
Running backs, plenty banged up. Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, give us some that you like this week.
Frank Gore and Devin Singletary, both worthwhile plays this week as flex starters with a great matchup against the Miami Dolphins. Chase Edmonds has been getting more burn in Arizona's backfield, so you can potentially utilize him, although David Johnson remains the guy. Edmonds is getting enough opportunities. Miles Sanders, the matchup is pretty positive against the Cowboys this week. And also keep in mind, the handcuffs are potentially still out there. So with Todd Gurley banged up, Malcolm Brown is an option. He's also dealing with an ankle. Well, then you go down the depth chart, and Darrell Henderson is there. He could be a worthwhile pickup.
Mike, everyone's hurting for tight ends. Give us some off the waiver wire that are plug and play this week.
Dawson Knox is someone that you can grab off the waiver wire, again, because of the matchup against Miami. Gerald Everett, he may have been rage-dropped after a bad week 6. Great matchup this week against Atlanta. Jason Witten, hey, man, listen, this is where we're at. He's a top 10 tight end. That's how bad the position is, but he's a waiver wire option in some leagues. It has gotten that bad at tight end this season. So a lot of people out there streaming, those are 4 good options.
He's Michael Fabiano, always with the best info. Thanks, Mike.
All right, go easy, my friend.
For more, log on to NFL.com/fantasy. I'm Jason Horowitz, Westwood One Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on NFL Sunday, Sports Radio WEEI. Time to talk with Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston. He joins us next. Tom, how are you, sir?
I am tremendous. What a beautiful Sunday, huh?
Beautiful day. Absolutely beautiful
day. Great slate of games. Great slate of games,
yes,
too.
It is. We're going to go around the NFL in a little bit. A lot of really good matchups, including Texans and Colts. But my first question for you, Tom, is what was your reaction when you first saw the clip of Tom Brady on that Paul Rudd Netflix show?
Well, it was certainly eye-widening, given the context of what's gone on, you know, in the last 8 months to see, you know, when you're looking at it and as a clip, you know, I wasn't watching the show live, mm-hmm. so I didn't know that it was related to cloning or genes or anything else or what Paul Rudd was trying to accomplish. So you look at an individual coming out of a massage parlor, regardless of who it is these days, you strip mall massage parlor, you go, oh, yeah, I know a story about that.
Right.
And then you see Tom Brady, you say, whoa, that's strange, to say the very least.
Now, what did you think of his, we played it earlier in the show, but he had a back and forth with a reporter yesterday and kind of seemed to put the blame on the media for trying to find negative angles and things like that, which he didn't appreciate, even though you have to admit, as you said, it was very strange to a lot of people, and I'm sure there was another story to it. Like Wiggy mentioned, all right, well, when was this filmed? And then, okay, you find out it was filmed after the fact, and you know that in the in the TV show, it is the cloning and it is this different stuff. But at that point in the show, Paul Rudd doesn't know what's in there. And so you're just thinking what everybody else is thinking. So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, but he seemed to be pretty defensive about it.
Well, I think he was defensive. And, you know, here's the thing. I apologized for a tweet that I put out there. And here's the reason I did that. Because I think everyone has different roles. And if you're someone who doesn't have access to either the Patriots or to Brady or has a beat responsibility as a reporter, then you don't really have to measure your steps as much. But I said, should have paid him in a tweet, which is a joking tweet. Mm-hmm. But still, it was alluding to the fact that, wow, Brady must be really pissed at Kraft if he would put that out there. And that on my end, as I look back at it, was a little irresponsible because I do have access and I do have the ability to check stuff out before I tweet. And there are occasions. So first off, I got to use that access before I throw something up against the wall. Additionally, I think that by now, you know, my years of covering, I've had a number of stories related to Brady and his situation that are, I'm pretty well plugged in there. So to insinuate that I knew that this was a swipe,
yeah,
people could easily take that. So I thought it was incumbent on me to say, look, I don't know anything here, and to come up the next day and say, I regret insinuating something, because I think people follow my stuff. And even if I allude to something and say, well, he knows what he's talking about. In this instance, I alluded to something I had no flipping idea. So it was incumbent upon me to apologize. So I'm a media member that he could absolutely have a gripe with. The overall perception, however, I think is fair. But when you hear the green screen stuff, he can back it off. But I think he's got a bigger bone to pick with media in general and the way he feels he's treated. But as I kind of said to him, too, we are in this age of interpretation. We have, whether it's the NBA, the NFL, liking tweets, liking Instagram posts, putting wide eye posts up to indicate something is standard operation. So we are left to interpret, and that's part of news gathering now, unfortunately. So that's where we are.
But shouldn't we, as people that work in the media, right, shouldn't we look into it before we start casting judgment or aspersions on what we think this is all about based on a 2-minute trailer? Shouldn't we do our due diligence? And then, like Brady said, well, do you know what the context about the situation was? Or are you just looking at this 2-minute?
Yeah, but you could flip it on Brady and be like, do you know what the context
was? Well, no, I'm asking yeah, no, Tom, okay, the current. Shouldn't we ask?
No, I think it's a fair question. It's absolutely a fair question, Wiggy. And I think that that's where we get into the nuance of what's written. No one is saying, myself included, at that moment, well, this is clearly a shot at Robert Kraft. Mm-hmm. And saying that's the way it is. We know, I knew he was accessible at 1:40 the next day, and I was like, we got to ask him about this. We also had a conversation at our place about not writing anything or writing something. I was like, we got to write something. Everyone's making this conclusion. And we also had Jason Levine, who's one of our folks. So I think it's too flimsy. So we did have a debate as to whether or not to do it. By the time we posted something the next day, probably around 11, Yahoo had written something, Pro Football Talk had written something, but we spent a long time not writing anything until I said, we got to do something with it. And in the end, that was probably the right inclination by Jason at our place, but we had to, that's the thing is you get pushed into, no one is stating journalistically that this is what it is, but you can't help but, whether it's politics or sports media or anything, you have to take inferences in 2020, 2019, where the hell are we?
And run almost.
With them. Close. We habitually run with inferences. So that's, I get what you're saying, Wiggy. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's incumbent upon the media to check it out journalistically and find out. But until we have an opportunity to get that person and ask them directly, we absolutely will end up reporting on, this is what it looks like. We'll try and do more checking.
I just thought, for a guy who is so careful, like as you know, Tom, I mean, he talks, what, at least 3 or 4 times a week minimum, right? A couple of radio interviews, mm-hmm. press conferences, post game, you know, during the week. and he's very careful as to what he says. I still think he tells us stuff with the words that he chooses, but he's also careful as to what he tweets or what he Instagram likes and everything else. And so for him to appear in that video and then really be kind of perturbed that the question was even asked. Now, maybe the question could have been asked differently, and Fourier mentioned that earlier. Like, the way that the question began, it was almost like leading to maybe a more of a back and forth, where had somebody that was on the football beat, somebody right. who Tom sees every day, sort of said, hey, you know, what's going on there? Can you explain that to us? Like, don't even yes. have an opinion on it, but just be like, sort of saw this, like, it, you know, when did you know about it? Like, just sort of to get his take on it. And that's not what happened. Then it got a little bit more contentious.
No, if the question had been posed, which if I had been in the front of the scrum, I would have said, can you give me the context on
right.
your appearance on that Netflix thing? And I think then we would have heard green screen. It's something I agreed to a long time ago. Da, da, da. But with Dan Housley asking, and I don't have a problem with, really, I don't have a problem with him asking it the way he did, because as contentious as it seemed, it allowed Brady to voice a greater issue that he has, which is worth considering as well. Mm-hmm. You know, are we in a blame and shame atmosphere, which in some ways we are, but but phrasing it as, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
It did cut to the chase of, look, this is what we all perceive. Now fix us in what we're perceiving it to be.
Right. So let's kind of move past that situation, because I think we realize that, you know, we all know now that it wasn't about that. And now when you look at the situation kind of moving forward, do you think that maybe Brady looks at it and goes, maybe I should have did things differently initially? Or do you think he still says, hey, listen, here's what it was about. It has nothing to do with this. I know the perception is going to be different in the beginning for what everybody perceives it to be.
I think his biggest agitation truly is that he tries to be good with people and share himself. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of gain for him sometimes. I mean, there's times where I have a conversation, you know, everybody, you know, I get a round of applause, and you know, you guys have your ability to use him on your content. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a content factory, and he puts himself out there, and he's like, look, everybody profits from it. But me, well, that's not accurate either. People profit from my name and image, even if I'm not talking to them directly. And scrutiny and conjecture about me personally generates clicks, ratings, and everything else. And I think he's exhausted by it. It's the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. But he's pointing out that he's not really down with it. So that's, I think it was a gripe, but I don't know if there's a solution.
Right.
But he's pointing it out that, hey, I'm aware that this is what goes on. And that's why, you know, so honestly, to be candid, you know, me as a writer, beat reporter, columnist, you know, TV and radio personality too, it's a lot of hats I wear. I need to check myself in the way that I'm operating within the relationship that I've built with him too. And not do him dirty by being a smartass or alluding to something I don't know. So it's a weird time to try and cover things, and there's no handbook and guidebook.
But truth be told, Tom, if you can't be a wise ass, what's the point of any of it? You know, like, you gotta be able to, you know, comment on certain things and certain Tom. It's Sunday here.
It's like, right, come on.
I never finished the word.
No, I know. No, you've done a great job.
It's like, you
our
know,
our producer's loving it.
You know, you want the little clickbait, but at what risk are you willing to alienate the person that you're going to now see on a daily basis?
This was absolutely a story. And if you,
know
what I mean? I mean, it's just, when you saw it for the first time, you were right. Like, is this a joke? Like, what is happening right now? So it was worth mentioning. And so that got a lot of attention. But something on the complete other end of it is Michael Bennett, who has been suspended by the team for a game. I know you wrote about it, Tom, on NBC Sports Boston. What do you think ultimately happens now with Bennett?
It really depends on how explosive the confrontation was, really. And that, to me, is what we don't know. Michael Bennett tried to get ahead of it by releasing a quote-unquote statement. I'm not sure how much validity that statement has, nor have we spoken to him directly.
But for Belichick to suspend a player for a game, he didn't even do that with Malcolm Butler. I mean, whatever Malcolm Butler did. Right. So I think that it depends upon unknowns. We don't know what happened specifically. If it wasn't something that went beyond the pale, then I would imagine they try and extend an olive branch and figure out a way for it to work. They still got 12 games left, including the playoffs, one would presume all the way into February. There's going to be times when a player as talented as that can be part of your plan, but is he going to be a pain in the ass over his locker on a regular basis and detract from the production and work of the younger players? Wiggy, I'll ask you, mm-hmm. Can a guy who's quote-unquote acting out be quarantined to the point where he's not a distraction, or is it just so counterproductive?
Well, I think he can, but it's based on his opportunity. That's the problem. And see, I think that's ultimately what led us to where we are right now, is his production kept going down and down, so he kept getting less and less opportunities to go out there and be productive. And when you're in that position, positional meetings, what I think happened here is, you know, you say some things, Brett Bielema doesn't like it, he says something in return, and you have a couple weeks of that buildup, and then you say one thing, and then that's where it explodes, and then you get into a back and forth, which I think ultimately was a shouting match, a lot of, you know, bad words, maybe even a little pushing and shoving. And then ultimately Bill has to go, listen, you can't put your hands on the coach no matter how frustrated you are. I'm going to have to suspend you for the week. But ultimately, Tom, I think the writing is on the wall because of the production that the playing time he was getting. It was going down week in week. So what ends up happening? Maybe you do send this olive branch and now you're still at 10 snaps a game?
Now, do you know that there were hands laid?
I don't know any, and I don't think that I don't know. But if you're suspending a guy, you're not just going to suspend the guy for yelling and screaming and using foul language, no matter what, because I think Bill understands, hey, it's two grown men, it's two adults, and we're going to say some things and things get heated. But I think ultimately there's a line in the sand that might have gotten crossed, and that might have been whether it's a chest bump, a little bit of some type of physical altercation that allows, you know, then makes Bill go, listen, we can't do that.
Yeah, I don't know, again.
I don't know, but
good day for me to step carefully on what I know and what I don't. But I'm guessing it wasn't your run-of-the-mill exchange this is what resulted.
Right, well, that would be my thing for being in that locker room before that. Heated arguments happen all the time, and calling each other out of your name happens all the time, but there's a line you don't cross.
All right, he's Tom E. Kern. You can check him out on NBC Sports Boston and on the.com, and you have something else to add.
No, we didn't even get to all these great games, but huge game. That Houston Indy game is going to be fascinating.
Do you think that's the second best team in the conference, the winner?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Especially if the Texans can win that game on the road there.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Houston's got some ugly losses and performances.
Yeah.
Other team there. The
Colts.
Indy.
Yeah.
So, enjoy, boys.
Enjoy your Sunday, Tom. Right, Tom. We'll talk to you Wednesday with Dale Keefe, and then we will talk to you again next Sunday here. So thanks so much.
Love it. Take care. Bye.
All right, there you go. Tom E. Kern. Our producer, John, only had to dump him twice.
We almost ran out. Almost had to hang up on him.
Almost had to let him
completely out of delay.
He was fired up, though, on a Sunday, you know, just a casual Sunday where a lot of us are going to be watching Red Zone and enjoying
the energy.
Day.
We needed the
great
energy.
Great energy today. Good breakdown of the Netflix thing. And that was the other part of it. I should have made it more clear, but and Tom did point out he had like sort of a snarky little tweet, you know, that, you know, should have paid Brady. It's any way that, you know, he didn't get the contract extension that he wanted. And had he done that, maybe Brady wouldn't have appeared in that video or that TV show with Paul Rudd, which is how we sort of started the show today. But it's definitely worth talking about, though.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
it is worth it. And like, I know Tom does view things differently because he is down there all the time. He does have a relationship with all these guys. He's not just like an idiot on the radio. Like, I would have no problem. If I thought of that same tweet, I would have tweeted the same thing.
It's worth talking about, but I think the point that Tom made was, and the thing that Brady was upset about is, ask me about the con t- context of that 2-minute clip you saw, right?
But he was already on the defensive too, because he he's like, "Do you know the context?" It's like, "Well, maybe not everybody does. Maybe you can tell us.
Your question is, "What are you doing?" I mean,
no, I know that's a bad. Maybe you led him down that road.
Are you not like? It's like if I ask you a question, I'm like, "What are you doing, Richard? You're not smarter than that." Like when you start to talk to somebody,
Then I get defensive.
Right, when you start to talk to somebody like they're a child,
that's tough.
They're beneath you,
right.
You're gonna get a defensive response. That's why I go back to the Michael Bennett thing. If two guys are going at it, and they're a tone is one guy says something where the other guy feels like, wait a second, I'm not your child here, and it's adult.
Escalate it quickly.
It escalates it quickly.
Yeah.
But then when do we cross the line? And for you to get suspended, just in my mind and being around this game, it's when maybe you get physical or you threaten.
I think personal attacks too, where it's got nothing to do with football.
Well, you threaten somebody. Say another thing to me, and I'm whipping your ass.
Right.
But wait a second. You're talking to the coach.
Yeah, that's true.
I know but if I'm calling you a name, what do you know, this, that, and the other? I think we're fine.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about some of the Patriots' injuries. They've already ruled out 3 guys for tomorrow night's game, so we'll get into that when we come back on NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Your window into the game is brought to you by Marine Home Center, your local Anderson Windows dealer. The Patriots play tomorrow night. They have already ruled out Josh Gordon, Ryan Izzo, and Matt Lacoste. They have a number of players who are questionable. Rex Burkhead, Patrick Chung, Philip Dorsett, Julian Edelman, and Gunner.
Wow.
So they have 4 wide receivers on the injury report. 1 out. The other 3, I think, will play. But still, they're all on the injury report. And you have your 2 tight ends all season long are both out. So you're going to get
two new tight ends.
And don't you think you're going to get more production out of them already?
Well, like you were saying that if Ben Watson catches 3 balls in this game.
Isn't that that's more productive? Positive?
Yeah.
And if Eric Tomlinson is able to block and make Sonny Michel's job a little bit easier, isn't that also a bonus? I feel like these guys, you know, Brady obviously, you know, was not going to compliment them a couple of weeks ago when one of the beat reporters down there was like really trying to get him to like, hey, you've worked hard with these guys. Are they improving? He's like, no.
It's
you can't do much worse. Like, I hate to just pile on these 2 guys, but like they were put in a position where they were like the last 2 guys standing because this offseason, Gronk leaves. Then they try to make a push at Jared Cook. They don't get Jared Cook. So they bring in a whole bunch of tight ends.
Uh-huh.
Austin Seferian Jenkins sounds like he's dealing with some personal stuff.
Yeah, we don't know what's
going
on.
So he's gone. Steven Anderson wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. Ben Watson was suspended for 4 games.
Right. You brought in Lance Kendricks.
Lance Kendricks, and he was suspended for a game, and then you cut it. So these were kind of the last 2 guys standing, and
you're at the bottom, and you're like, we can't go any
lower.
Further,
this
but up. If we brought in Christian and Wiggy,
I think you would have had more production.
We could potentially upgrade.
How many grabs do you think you would have in a game? If you played on Monday night, how many grabs?
Ooh, I don't know.
6-7 balls?
No. I would definitely get hurt way before that.
Pull a hammy. First play in the game. And looks like 85 down on the field. We'll have to get the cart.
Wait a second. They just threw him the football. How did he even get tackled? And he went down.
Gain of 2 on the play.
Well, yeah, Christian Foyer tries to set the edge, but gets driven back 15 yards.
So a more significant injury, though, is Josh Gordon. And that didn't look right when he went down. And he's listed on the injury report both a knee and an ankle injury.
Think about this. Think about your offensive core.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon.
Yep.
Out. Edelman's healthy.
He's playing,
but he's playing well, right?
Yes.
You're getting Philip Dorsett, who's coming back off of a hamstring.
Right.
Jacoby Myers and Gunner.
Yeah.
That's your wide receiver position.
That's the wide receiver position. I like Jacoby Myers.
No, I'm not saying that you don't, but
you can't tell me that I don't, because I do.
Is he?
But no, that I know.
What
that's,
is he?
What is he?
4 catches, 650 yards?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll take that, won't you?
Yeah, it's not bad.
I think he's kind of like Philip Dorsett was at the beginning and at the end of the season, because Dorsett's role disappeared when Gordon showed up last
right.
year. But at the end, remember, he had a couple of touchdowns in the playoffs, and he was
right.
good. He had some catches. I think Myers could be that. The problem is, he needs a couple of guys on the field that get much more attention.
Yes.
He needs another guy. And right now, Josh Gordon, whether he's healthy or not, doesn't seem like he's that guy.
Everybody's bumped up. Everybody's bumped up. And
now Dorsett's not as good, because now there's more attention on him. And you're looking at, if you're a defense, you say, all right, let's.
Now our best guy
might be on Dorsett at times.
Now you need Myers to be a guy. Okay,
yeah.
You might be going against their second corner. Can you win one-on-one coverage? We need you to get open now. Brady can't hold on to the ball forever. Where we see Brady at times looking back there and going, wait, who am I going to throw it to?
Yeah.
Is this guy ever going to get open?
Yeah. Now, Peter King was on with us earlier in the week, and he said essentially that the Patriots have the worst skill position group in football. That's overstating it, isn't it?
I think
there are some bad teams and bad skill positions out there.
I think that's overstating it.
Yeah.
But you know that was that it was a game we played earlier?
We played
or
some
an
games.
Exercise.
We play oh,
the running back one.
You know what? That might be an exercise.
What would
that's
be
a good point. I don't think that was a game. There's no winners and losers there.
I got an exercise for
okay.
us that maybe we can effort this for when
yeah.
we get Christian back.
Yeah.
Is to look at what he said. It was Peter King who said this?
Peter King said they're the worst skill position group.
Go down the list of the teams like we did with the running back position.
Okay.
Let's go down the list of their top two
wide receivers.
Receivers. Now, I think we're going to have to take – we can't do this right now.
Okay.
But we'll go down the list of the top two receivers. Would you say top two or top – we want to go top three?
Top two or three.
Okay, so top two.
Top two and a half.
Two and a half receivers and tight ends.
Who would be the guys for the Patriots that you
position.
Would use?
Edelman,
Gordon, White, or are you going to do like Edelman, Gordon, Dorsett, try to keep it to wideouts?
No, skill position. Like,
all right.
Right. So when you look at your top three skill position players of these teams, Edelman?
I'd probably go.
Wow.
James White.
Okay.
And probably Gordon still.
Mm-hmm. And when you throw a running back in there,
yeah.
that, unless you're an Alvin Kamara,
right?
Where you can be an explosive, skilled player.
Right.
James White is a very, very talented and good.
He's solid. He's good, but he's
possession he's, and maybe picking up the
good receiving back though. Like he's gonna have a ton of catches by the end of the year.
But he's not the when you see the receiving back, he's not the.
He's not Larry Center.
He's not.
No, but he's probably right below those guys.
Right.
You know, he last year he scored a bunch of touchdowns. Last like he, you know, he's
right, so
a,
we
a third down.
I think you would put him up there.
Okay,
so we could put him up there. So that's your top three skilled position.
Yeah.
Can we think of a team right off the bat?
That what is better or worse?
Let's go Kansas City.
So they would go
Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce,
and maybe McCoy or Williams or Watkins.
Or Hodman.
Yeah. That's better.
Okay,
no,
so
it's better,
so that
but,
would be.
But there's 32 teams in the league. I think if you wanted to say, take a look at the teams that are in the playoffs right now or the teams that are likely contenders and you want to say theirs is worse than those teams, I have no problem with that. But because the other part, Wiggy, is
T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
Eric Ebron.
Yeah, that's not great.
No, I'm saying comparing them to your Patriots. Eric Ebron.
That's
and,
not great.
And who would be number three?
It would probably be... I don't even know. That's the thing.
Would you put like a we're just talking passing.
Would that, like Zach Pascal? Like who would they? It's not great.
Right.
It's not great. I would say the Patriots is probably better than that one. And that's the other part mm-hmm. is if, and this was a couple of weeks ago, I think this conversation came up about where Julian Edelman ranks and whether mm-hmm. or not he's underrated or by some, overrated by others. If you think Edelman's a top 10 wide receiver in the league, and there's probably a good case that he is.
Okay, yeah.
Then how bad can your group be? If you have a top 10 receiver,
right,
so that's what I'm saying. If you're going to overvalue him, or not even overvalue him, if you're going to rank him that high, and I think mm-hmm. that's fine to do, he's a guy that I think everybody would want on their team. Then you can't just say, well, besides Edelman, they have nobody. It's like, well, no, they have Edelman, and he's going to catch 100 balls, and he's going to have 1,000 yards, and he's going to have, we'll see on touchdowns, but he's a guy that I'm sure there's not too many guys Brady would rather have than Edelman. All right, when we come back, we'll go around the NFL. Even though the Patriots don't play today, it's actually a great day. It's going to be a great red zone day to bop around to all the different games. There's a key AFC game. There's a really good game in the NFC. So we'll go around the NFL when we come back here on NFL Sunday, which is brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price, Kaplansky.com, and also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.